Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. Again, that number is 818-985-5735. And even if you didn't go to the U.S. Social Forum, feel free to give a call. You guys are missing. It's too bad you guys can't see. This is not like video podcast. Maggie LaPique is dancing along to Poncho Sanchez off his new album. That was, I think it was called Maceo's House. So I encourage everybody to check it out. It's a really, really good album. While we're waiting for the calls at 1-800 or 818-985-5735, Tam wanted to actually talk about how many people were there, because it's pretty amazing. Ask me how many people went to the U.S. Social Forum.
Well, I mean, we can pinpoint at least 12,000 people. And for the folks that didn't register that experienced different portions of the Social Forum and not just at the Civic Center, numbers could go up to 15. I'm solid at there were at least 12,000 people. Having worked with registration and large delegations, it was pretty amazing to see. And a strong portion of that, I mean, majority of it working class folks inside organizations, a lot of folks from Atlanta, ton of folks from the South. We, you know, 150 people from the Southern World Women's Initiative, the Freedom Caravan that brought 500 people, South Florida brought two buses up. And so a real strong concentration from the South.
So we're going to go to our first caller, Aaron from CPT. What's up, Aaron? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. What's your comment?
My comment is I just want to broaden people's perspective. I'm from Compton, and I'm black as skin color. But I don't call myself African-American, and I'm not labeled an African-American. I'm actually Jamaican. Just because someone's black doesn't mean that they have any ties to the American South. It doesn't mean that they have any real ties to American slavery. It just means that they're black. What I'm basically trying to say is we can't fight racism by furthering and continuing the racist thoughts. You know, every time something happens, we want to divide ourselves in groups and say, well, I'm fighting for the blacks. I'm fighting for the Mexicans. Now I'm fighting for the blacks and the Mexicans. What's going on today in America is affecting everyone. It's affecting the poor. It's affecting the rich. It's affecting white people. It's affecting blacks. The only way we can really, really find any kind of equality, any kind of common ground, is by treating each other like common people with a common goal. We can't have a goal for blacks, a goal for Mexicans, a goal for other minorities, a goal for Asians. We have to have a goal as Americans and a common place that we want to be together. We can't have 1,700 roads that are leading into one city. We all have to be on that same road, that same path. Not meaning we get there the same way, not meaning we have the same wants. But we have to be a people, Americans. We can't be Mexican-Americans, African-Americans, white Americans, Asian-Americans. When we have to stop trying to separate everything into what fits us. I'm fighting for the black African-American women. I'm fighting for the minority of Asian. We have to stop separating ourselves. Divide and conquer means you divide yourselves into groups and you fight amongst each other for the small resources that are there. Until we unite into a group called Americans with no labels, we will never have any kind of unity.
Thank you, Aaron, from Compton. Again, our number is 818.
Americans with no labels, we will never have any kind of unity.
So again, our number is 818-985-5735. I think it's an interesting, I think we've seen reflections of what Aaron is talking about throughout the social forum, and I think there's a lot of different ways that people are thinking about trying to talk about it. And I think one of the things that we've been trying to do is really trying to build kind of a anti-imperialist movement, but also looks at the nuances on how everybody's struggle actually got into that. Again, 818-985-5735. And so I think a lot of it, like particularly the workshop that we talked about, the panel we talked about with the future of the black liberation movement, was really trying to address as kind of a black liberation movement, which would include all the folks that Aaron actually talked about in terms of Jamaican, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How do we come together and actually have specific demands related to our people? And then really also see how those are then tied with other folks. So one of the examples was one of the examples was this whole thing around police and how one of the things I was talking about is like we all need to address police in all of our campaigns. And how that actually looks is that police who are on the front line of incarcerating, you know, a million black people are also starting to be flipped over in this whole homeland security script into immigration enforcement. So unless we're actually always addressing all these things that cut across all of them, then a lot of the divide and conquer continues. So if we don't actually have stuff that actually understands where demands are demand specific per group and then unify across those, then that divide and conquer continues to go. So we have our next caller is Philip from Torrance. Philip, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Great. You know, the fellow who called from Compton, you could replay his call because he's dead on right. That, you know, if we aren't all going to pull together, it's never going to work.
Okay. Thank you, Philip from Torrance. Our next caller is Sherry from Highland Park.
Hi. I wanted to say, you know, that caller from Compton, any African that comes to America, whether he comes via Jamaica, via France, once he gets to America, he's an African and he's in America. That makes him African American. African Americans, we have opened up our arms to everyone. We've invited everyone into our communities. It's about time we get invited and other arms open up to us. We hire Mexicans, we hire Latinos, we hire the Chinese, we hire the Jewish, we hire everybody. They won't hire us. You look in the Latino community, there are no blacks working in the Latino community. If we're going to come together, the other communities are going to have to open up their arms to us. We stand here waiting with open arms. We always have. And I think it is about time we come together. But I also believe African Americans that were here via the slave trade need to get reparations before there's any real healing that takes place.
Thank you, Sherry. It's an interesting thing, I think, just for the callers who called, I actually don't identify as African American. I don't want to put anything around American in the label that describes me, precisely because my citizenship here is very conditional. We see how citizenship both for Latinos, immigrants, Asian, and et cetera, as well as black people get kind of cut down as soon as you get put in the prison system or logo to gang member, et cetera. I think one of the things that this brings to mind is really as a movement, we need to figure out how to actually carry demands that actually in the very immediate don't actually benefit our groups. And that's how we really build solidarity. So it's not just like, you know, I'm for unity, I'm for this, I'm for that. But like we need to have black people who stand for open borders and for amnesty for immigrants. And we need Latinos who stand for affirmative action for black people. So if we look at the South and black people not having jobs and Latinos, particularly Mexicans there, are actually taking some of the jobs, we need to understand and actually push for that actually we need to actually work together. And it can't be just it's not my thing, but a lot of the groups that are working down there are trying to actually say, yes, we need to actually have both. So I think that's part of the whole nuance that I would like to actually hear. And we got three callers, so let's go with Jay from Inglewood. Jay, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just caught part of the caller from Compton saying we all need to be under the umbrella of America. But to me, America has not had the interest of anyone but their own interest at mind or at heart. I think black folks in America, we have to see our own interests. We have been putting forth our effort in America for over 400 years, and America keeps pushing us away. It is essential now that black folks in America look for their own interests and develop our own interests. America has showed us what it thinks about us, and I think it's well for the Latino community, but I think we stand a greater opportunity to work with the disadvantaged and the oppressed, whether they be white or black or brown, because America's interest is in money, in profits, and in war.
Right. Thank you, Jay from Inglewood. Thanks for your call. We have about four callers left, so I'm going to ask the next folks to, you know, keep it kind of brief so we can get through them. So we have first Dana from Sherman Oaks. Dana, welcome to the show.
Hello. My ex-husband was from Brazil, and he told me that he didn't know there was such a thing as a black man until he got here. And that to me seems appropriate. Why do we make distinctions? Greedy, selfish men make borders. Borders are obscene. We're all here together on this planet. Stop thinking in terms of color and race. We're human, period. And all the other distinctions are irrelevant and Piscean. We're in a new age. Let's drop all the old BS and start new and fresh and love everybody.
You know, I think the callers, we were going to try to focus around the U.S. Social Forum, but I think this is a good conversation. One of the things is when we talk around self-determination or race or identity, let's just be real. It's a material reality. So whether or not you see yourself just as the human race or like the system creates these and we are treated where there's privilege, whether there's oppression, treated specifically. And so I think that that's a material reality that we can't ignore. I think then, you know, wanting to root that in the systemic nature, and not just we're just talking about how you treat me or I treat you, but really the systemic nature of national oppression, of racism in this country. So I think that that's what we're trying to focus on. And then from there, right, how do we actually build conversations, build unity of action, build consciousness around struggles that we may not experience. So as an Asian woman, you know, struggles that Latino folks face, because can I get people to want to fight for Korean reunification when they don't have any material benefit from that? How can I get other Asians to really challenge class privilege and look at the struggle of the transatlantic slave trade and fight for reparations? So that's a struggle that I'm trying to have, but it's also rooted inside what people experience systemically. And so I think the question around race and you know, and what is the strategy for liberation and freedom, I think is an age-old one, but we believe that it's based and rooted in first a self-determination of folks and then a solidarity and unity in struggle and in vision. So let's move on to the next caller. So give us your thoughts around the U.S. Social Forum, or let's continue this conversation.
And we're going to actually have time for just one more caller. So Barbara from Gardena, you were on the line the longest.
Well, I agree with your caller from Inglewood that African-Americans, and I say African-Americans, not black, as a distinct ethnicity, which does not include, in my view, Jamaicans or others who have a different story to tell. And I don't believe that if we have to work with other groups for common causes, it means that we have to relinquish our story, our culture, our history, things that we are proud of and we would like to keep. I don't believe that because we are different, that means we have to disrespect one another. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Barbara. And I think this, to me, this is going to be a longer segment we need to talk about. And I think this is part of what we brought to the U.S. Social Forum and, like, the future of the Black Liberation Movement and all of what you would call that. So look forward to that. Actually, next week we're going to have Ai-Jen Poo from Domestic Workers Alliance also coming out of the U.S. Social Forum. So this is kind of a continued conversation. Today we want to thank all the callers, first of all. We would also like to thank my co-host/guest/ Renaissance person, Tammy Bangalou, as well as Ruben Solis from the Southwest Workers Union. Today we had music from Red Guard, Grupo Obo Ilu, Poncho Sanchez, and Sugar Hill Gang is coming on right now. You guys really got to see Maggie with P. We'd like to thank our producer, Christine Blasdell, production assistant, Lisa Adler, as well as our engineer, Maggie LaPique. We'll see you next week on Voices from the Front Lines. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman. See you next week. Bye.
And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on and sing that song. Check it out. I'm the CASN, the OVA, and the rest is FLY. You see.